Good afternoon. You're tuned into Glory 93.9 FM, and it is that time. We are 1 minute past the 4 o'clock hour, and it's officially Girl Talk time with your fabulous and favorite host and co-host. It's Ma
Marisha.
You're the dragon.
Marisha.
And join Nay. And listen, y'all, it's a Thursday. It is so hot. You need a cold glass of water to quench your thirst. It is ridiculously hot. And I said, I messaged Christoph. I said, Christoph, listen, it must be the hottest day of summer.
Lord Jesus.
Today, because something is different about this heat today. And while it's all different. And while it's all fun and good to say, you know, we need a glass of water, we need to call something to drink.
Right.
What are you really thirsty for?
My God.
And I want to stick a pin right there. And, you know, we want to be hydrated and natural and all these great things.
Jesus.
But what are you really thirsty for? And I want to that's not our conversation today, but I want to start there. And are you thirsty for that man or woman's attention? Ooh. Are you thirsty for money and fame and success and to be in the in crowd?
You just come for us, like, just like that. Just like, are you, like, are straight you out the gate. You coming for people.
Thirsty for money? And this is something that I
said. You was a thirsty gal.
Oh, man. Nevertheless, thirsty. And it was something for me to think about, because I remember when I remember when I wanted to be a part of this thing so bad. I was thirsty for it.
Oh, Jesus.
And I somehow convinced myself, you know, deep people.
Yeah, we do.
Holy Ghost, you know, I need to be a part of this because this is a part of my next level. And
right.
You know, all of these great things. And I thinking back, I saw how I lied to myself so much.
Lied to yourself.
And covering up the thirst.
Oh.
And could I tell you, and I don't know much, but let me tell you this. This I do know. The thing that you are thirsty for isn't even necessary for your next level.
It's not
what you think it is. It really isn't. And believe it or not, you making that decision to be a part of whatever it is, that in crowd, that money, that success, that fame, is actually hindering your growth.
Jesus.
And the truth of the matter is, at that time, while I was thirsty for this particular thing or this particular group of people,
right,
God was still working in me and on me. And when I made the decision to join or to be a part or to, like, to try be in the in crowd, it paused the work.
It didn't work.
So I want to say to you this day, ladies and gents, do not pause the work because your thirst.
Don't pause.
Don't pause the work because you just want to have money, or pause the work because you want to have success and this seems to be the right way to go about it. And I want to share this with you. The Bible says, "He that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled." The truth of the matter is, when we hunger and thirst after anything that's not righteous, we will not be filled. There will be no satisfaction. So yes, you can have the money. Yes, you can have the fame. Yes, you can be in the in crowd, but it will not fill you. It will not be satisfying enough. I'll take it a little further. Jesus said in John 4, "But whosoever drinks of this water."
Come on, woman of God.
Believe Marisha.
Sorry.
"Whosoever drinks of this water that I give them will never thirst again." Indeed, the water I give them will become a spring of water welling up into eternal life. Thank you for the background. I feel it. It's really
my soul is thirsty.
Nevertheless, Thank you for the thirsty background, woman of God. But the truth of the matter is, we are thirsty for some things that God is really trying to pull us away from. And if I be honest, when you have to talk, you have to go little. You have to go little.
Okay, try it. I tried. You see, I choose a bad key, so I can't.
Switch the key then. Musicians, switch the key. B flat.
I can't sing low.
The truth of the matter is, when I finally got that thing that I thought that I really needed and that I was thirsty for, and that group of people that I was thirsty to be around, or this so-called fame and this so-called success, I was still rejected. And it made me, and just as quick, I wouldn't say it was quick, but it took so long for me to become a part of this thing that when I got there, it was like, you don't belong here.
Wow.
Maybe God is calling you to be set aside. Maybe God is calling you, and I don't want to say by yourself, but set aside, consecrated for his use. And when we put our flesh in things that are spiritual, we mess up the entire will of God for our lives. And I watch God disrupt everything around that particular situation for me.
Wow.
And shut the entire thing down. So when I begin to think about today's show, and I said, God, Jesus, I was really thirsty. I was desperate just to be a part and to be with these people, and it wasn't my assignment. It wasn't what he wanted for my life. And it takes real guts. And
you're saying a lot right now. This is a lot. It's a mouthful.
To be really honest with myself, I'm so glad that God killed it. Because had I taken that path, I wouldn't be the woman I am today.
Many of us can't even be mature enough to say, you know, thank God for the doors that he's closed and the platforms that he has removed.
We actually try to force it open.
We try to force the situation, and we try to manipulate things.
Yes.
One of the passages of scripture that one of my mentors from my old church, she would always quote. She would always say, Father, I thank you that your plans cannot be thwarted.
Wow.
And I always just like, she ungusted when she tried to pronounce that word, right? But I always, y'all, I'm so sorry that my voice is not where it is.
It's
your
fine.
Girl, your it's girl fine. Got a lot going on right now.
It's fine. You sound good though. Nice and full.
Like a preacher voice.
Yeah. Like, heavy.
Right before I wall off.
Yeah.
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 And I would always like hear her say it. But it wasn't until I got older that I really understood the weight of what she would say. Because it was something that she would always pray. And I didn't even understand why she would do that. And as I've matured, I realized that it is the plan of the enemy to thwart the plans of God in our lives. And so it is so important for us to not only understand how true it is that his plans cannot be thwarted, but to know that whenever manipulation is present, that it is always the enemy at work.
Yeah.
Even when we are the ones manipulating, we are being used of the enemy. Yeah. I didn't say you had demons. I say you was being used of the enemy.
You were available for his
Yes. And so I think it's so important for us to, like you said, we need to check the things that we're really hungry and thirsty for. I was listening to a sermon by Pastor Rod Parsley just before you came here to the station, and he freed me with something that has been troubling me a lot lately, because I know a lot of people are looking at the things that we're doing where they don't necessarily see the struggle and the pain and the weight of what's behind what we do. And so I was struggling with something in particular this week as it pertains to youth ministry. And when I say I was struggling, I mean, like, I've really been struggling with it. Like, I've been weeping concerning it because it's been such a heavy weight on me. And Dr. Parsley freed me from it today. And he said something that was just so powerful. He said, stop looking for what you think it should look like and ask God to reveal the true picture of what it should be.
Yes.
And it was so simple, but it was so profound for me, yes, because I realized that my tears were as a result of the disappointment for an expectation that I placed on God that He never gave me.
Right.
And I think that that is so important for us, especially when it comes to the things, like you said, that we're thirsty for. A lot of times our disappointment comes from illegal expectations because God did not say that.
Yes.
He did not say go here. He did not say connect with this person. Yes. He did not say to do this thing. And when it falls apart or it doesn't work out or it doesn't end the way that we would like to, then we're disappointed with God. But the reality is he never okayed it in the first place.
He never said it. And I think that's where I went wrong too, because I had this image of what his plans were for
exactly
me. And I was like, oh, but this have to be it, because it can't be anything else. And the Bible is so true. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Our finite minds cannot comprehend. And that's why he says, lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him.
Listen, I was so blessed, y'all. Listen, y'all, I was actually not at my church on Sunday. Could y'all believe that?
Holy Ghost and fire.
I was actually not at my church on Sunday. I had the privilege of visiting Ladder Glory and Pastor Carol Moss. And can I tell you, the entire service blessed me, from the worship to the dances to the word. You didn't send me my voice note, babe.
Oh, I forgot. I forget every day. I can remember.
So, sound like you need to pick up the phone and call your pastor.
Oh, Jesus. Pastor, if you can hear me, please.
But no, I'm serious. It was such a refreshing time in the presence of God for me. And just that same passage of scripture that you quoted, it has stuck with me all week, because I've been using it as a filter with some of the difficult things that I'm facing right now. When I say difficult, y'all, I don't want y'all to think I'm going through, but life has difficulties every day and that we have to face. And for me, I've been asking myself, okay, whoa, am I leaning on my understanding here? Does this make too much sense?
Right.
Because now that's my question. If it makes too much sense, okay, God, where are you?
Yeah.
Where are you? Because I need 9 times 1 to equal a billion.
I need it too. 2 + 2 = 4.
2 + 2 = 4.
It's not 4.
Y'all, and you had to been there to understand. To understand what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But Daniel and Joynay dedicated their baby to Jesus on this Sunday past to the Lord. And so I was definitely elated and honored to be a part of that ceremony and that celebration. And we surely did have a blast.
Yes.
We had so much fun.
Yeah.
Not only in the presence of the Lord, but even afterwards. So it was a wonderful time. I thoroughly enjoyed myself. And y'all should have seen this girl. She looked like the queen.
Why is that?
In fact,
she
had a crown on.
You know something?
She had on a crown.
Danielle, you know
something? I shall wear a crown.
Take that serious.
She was wearing a crown. She ain't even gonna wait till it's all over. She wore a crown while she was there.
You know,
she looked gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. Listen to me, and she looks gorgeous today as well. She has on my favorite color, purple.
Purple lips, purple dress.
She's just purpling it out, y'all. And she looks absolutely beautiful.
I did not know purple arm candy. I was on my way, but
You should have called me.
I know that
you know I have shades.
You were already here.
Yeah, I was already
here. So it didn't make any sense.
Yeah, if you'd have called me this morning, then you'd have been straight.
I didn't know this morning.
Ah, I understand.
Anyway,
she was straight. and then I decided to go on the beach. So if for y'all who saying Marisha put on the wrong color makeup, no, this is my actual current skin color now.
It's baked.
I'm baked. She's cooked. I'm more than well done. Whatever is past well done is what I am. I'm burnt.
I'm burnt. It's a Holy Ghost fire burn.
Listen to me. That was such a refreshing holiday for me.
Holiday was really good though.
Y'all, I lay on the top of that boat and let the sun cook me. And then I lay in the water.
I don't feel sorry for you then.
And then I lay in the water and let the sun cook me more. I cooked. Listen to me. It felt so good. So I hope you guys enjoyed your Emancipation Day holiday and all of that stuff that's been going on. We are in youth conference this week, so that's why your girl ain't got no voice. Pray my strength in the Lord, Jesus. We have a topic today, And before we started the show, Choynay was saying, Marisha, what you were saying about the topic? Because I can't remember. And guess what, y'all? I told her as soon as we start talking, I was going to remember.
Thank you, Holy Ghost.
And so our topic for today is relationship status.
But hold on, we can say thank you. Thank you for all those tuning in to Glory 93.9 FM. Lord. Those on our Facebook page, those on Twitter, YouTube, will listen to this podcast later. I want you to take a moment, share this live, share this broadcast.
Yes.
And please tell somebody about,
tell a
about
friend.
This show.
Share it, my
and
faces.
Then, listen, and when you tell them they're missing out on the WhatsApp group. They're missing out. We're accepting topics. We're accepting discussions. Anything you want to talk about in this group, we admonish you to please
absolutely
ask our call and our text line.
So Lisa, I like that. Baked so Lisa chips. Say, I'm a part of the baked chips now. I know, boy. I know.
Baked.
I'm baked. Okay, fine. No problem.
Lay's baked.
Lay's baked.
Yeah. It's nice.
Okay, yeah. They are nice. Yeah. It's a nice texture and it ain't too salty either. Yeah, it's like it's the perfect. Nice. Okay, cool.
It's nice. Our call line is 242-828-3543. I'll say that again. 242-828-3543. And our text line is 242-828-2543. Once again, our text line, anonymous. Both lines are anonymous. 242-828-2543. Three.
Give us a call.
Give us a text. Give us
a call. My God, Joe coming in hot.
Hot. What you saying?
You had a word on today.
Honestly, I really felt that.
You better preach.
I really felt that. And
I felt it too.
It wasn't until today that I really realized how desperate I was. And I think that kind of ties right into this topic because we are desperate for a status.
Jesus!
We are desperate to be labeled married, desperate to be labeled single, desperate for all of these things. And we really need to.
Giselle said that is powerful. I just said today, God, if I go off track, put the stumbling block in my way to put me back on track, guide me and redirect me.
Listen, Giselle, these people treat me so bad.
That's fine.
So
they don't know what they had.
No, it wasn't even that. God allowed it.
Mm.
It wasn't because their hearts were so bad. It was because God allowed them. Listen, treat her bad because she ain't business here.
She ain't business here anyway. So let's read it. Let's
send the stumbling block, Lord.
Yeah, man. This whole relationship status thing, I think that, you know, in my younger days.
I'm not doing it today.
In my younger days. No, I can tell the truth. In my younger days, Joining. See, I don't know what it was like for you, but I remember the exact time in my life when Facebook came about, when we got access to it, and this whole relationship status thing became a...
It mattered.
Yeah, because before it mattered, but it only mattered to the people who were around you.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who you was on, people who was on your MSN Messenger.
Yeah.
So if you was on MSN Messenger, right, and you had somebody on your profile on MSN Messenger, like those are the people who your relationship status mattered to, because then what you used to do is you used to put your name and his name there, right, or vice versa, his and her name, and then you, if you had a picture together, like that was amazing,
right. You know, like that's it. The little things around
exactly.
It.
Yeah. Aside from that, we had these flaming text names.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. So before Facebook came around, our status was MSN Messenger.
Yeah.
But when Facebook came around, Facebook just started off like straight out the gate. Like, are you single?
Married?
Are you married? Are you divorced?
Widowed?
Is it complicated?
This take it far.
Because when I saw it's complicated, I say, now, wait a minute now.
What do you mean by complicated?
And then what made me laugh too was like in the earlier days of Facebook, people actually had their it's complicated.
But it's complicated really means I'm in between relationships. It's on and it's off.
Listen to me. That blew my mind.
Complicated.
That blew my mind. Mm. And I think that kind of set the tone for the generations to come.
Mm.
And so I feel like for those of us millennials who could remember the world without Facebook, and now we're in a world where like social media is the measuring stick and the guidepost. Lord Jesus, help us Lord.
Help us, Holy Ghost.
This whole concept of relationship status is a major thing. And one of the things that I believe it has opened up, the thing that I remembered is this. Some of us who say we single, We're not. Some of us who say we're faithful in our marriage, we're not. We're not. And some of us who are claiming that we are in complicated entanglements,
it's really the entanglement,
are probably the only persons telling the truth.
Jesus. They think we've engaged. Sometimes that's be true.
They're lying too.
They're all in a lie.
Okay.
Like maybe.
Let's find out. Let's take a relationship status test. Let's do it. You ready for it?
I'm ready.
Question number one. Who is the first person that you speak to every morning?
It's really my husband.
Okay. And after Joynay has answered that question, some of you are asking yourself, who's the first person I speak to every morning? For the married people, is it the person laying next to you or the person on your phone who you text while you're laying next to the person next to you? Question number two. Who was the last person that you speak to before you go to bed?
You want me to answer that?
It could be me or it could be your husband. It could be your husband. I was hoping it was me. No way. He's talked to him before, after he talked to me. Okay. It have to be him.
I'm sorry. It is
it
him.
It ain't even G. It's him.
G is get his word. Listen, baby, go sleep. Time to sleep. Then talk to hubby because okay. You got to seal it.
Right. Got to seal that deal.
Right. You have to, I mean, that's where they.
No.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know, but I'm him. So who's the last person you speak to?
Gee.
And this is for all of you listening to. All of you listening.
Please think type about in the it. Comments. Please let us know.
If you don't want to tell us by posing your name, yeah. you know what to do.
Yeah.
242-828-2543 or 242-823-3543. Who's the last person that you talk to at the end of the day? Now, here's the third and final question. If we were to take a look at the call log in your WhatsApp, or measure
look at this now.
The level of storage in your WhatsApp. For the single people, how many persons are on that list where you have several calls a day? For the married people,
from one person.
Mm-hmm. Mm,
okay.
For the married people, is your spouse taking up the most space on your phone or is it somebody else?
Holy
is it somebody else?
This is hard today.
And, for the it's complicated person, boo, I know where you at. You saying boo, all kind of people taking up space.
Multiple.
Oh my God. Twins, triplets, quadruplets, and quintuplets, buddy. These are the questions upon which we begin our conversation. Single person. How many people you got in your phone who 10 o'clock can go pass and you ain't talked to them yet?
A.M.
Because I don't believe in having any phone calls.
I know 10 a.m. But I have to make sure if it's like 10 a.m.
10 a.m.
Okay.
10 a.m. It's 10 a.m. in the morning. It's 10 a.m. in the morning and your phone ain't going off yet. Who you about that? Because they ain't call you yet. They ain't message you yet. Okay. You won't hear from them yet. Is it your boyfriend? Is it your girlfriend? Is it your significant other? Is it your husband? Is it your wife? And I ask these questions. We ask these questions because many of us who are claiming to be single, the Bible says, if thine eye be single, my God, many of us are claiming to be single and we're not.
It's really a hand action for me.
We're not. I can say this so confidently and so boldly because I had a season in my life where I was claiming to be single and my phone said something different. And I had somebody, who came into my life who had to point that out for me. And I sat there and I was like, you know what? You're right. Because if this person don't call me or message me, I'm mad. And we're in a relationship.
Gee.
Ain't nothing going on between us. But there was some emotional
entanglements going on.
Emotional damage.
There was some emotional stuff going on. Some stuff I was wrapped up, tied up. Woo, woo, woo. And wow, people texting. Let's see.
My Lord Jesus.
Let's see. Last person I talked to is myself. These people, jokes. Y'all have the jail.
Say Jesus or something like that.
No, praying. So like, I thought about it. Okay, if I were to, because I know people hear your answers and your answers like, okay, fine, yeah, you have a husband. You talk to your husband all the time.
Well.
Husband. I know y'all really want to know who it is I talk to first thing in the morning.
Jesus, I hope.
Who it is I talk to last thing at night. So I can't analyze today because night hasn't come for today. So let me analyze yesterday. The first person I spoke to yesterday morning was Jesus. I did. Jesus. And then I got a phone call.
Before 10?
Before 10 o'clock.
Holy Ghost. This person didn't know.
They didn't know.
They didn't get the memo.
They haven't received the word yet.
Okay. Okay.
So I got a phone call before 10 o'clock and the person was like, oh, you all right? And I was like,
sleeping.
Yeah. They're like, why you sound like that? It's like, because I ain't talked to nobody else for the day other than Jesus.
So
why you like
you calling me for?
Like, why are you calling me?
Right.
And then they told me why they was calling me. And I was like, okay, cool. Fine, no problem. Dealt with what I had to deal with. Before I went to bed last night, I had to talk to Jesus. He was the last person I spoke to because the girl was having some problems getting to sleep.
Okay.
As tired and as bust up my body is, my mind was racing all over the place.
So you're telling me that usually first thing in the morning, the person you speak with is Jesus?
Now, usually first thing in the morning, Jesus is always the first person. When I wake up in the morning, even if I don't like pray, I'd be like, hey, buddy, what's up? No joke.
And at the end of night.
At the end of the night.
Or the end of the day.
End of the day.
Okay.
That's a different story.
I rest my case. Now, while Marisha has that perspective.
That's a different story. I just saying.
Let me tell you all my perspective. So.
Hold on. I just see this comment we got on YouTube. Sorry. Can we just read comments before you go?
Sorry.
Before you go on YouTube.
We miss a lot, though.
Yeah. Giselle says complicated equals transitioning. I can't have a job. Glory's Lord, these questions coming in hot. Speak the truth, people, because it's deep. So Lisa says, Holy Ghost, enjoy name voice. I'm going to sit this one out till next week. Geez, no, Lisa, you need to come. No, can't set it out. Now listen, some of these groups with these good morning flower memes taking up plenty of our storage.
You have to turn that off. You have to, like, don't download the media from the group.
Listen, nothing is automatically downloaded on my phone.
Nothing.
The man next to me saying to everything. Oh Lord, that's why you won't go, Salisa. I'm sorry.
We sorry, Salisa, but you got to enjoy this.
Indy says she's talked to our best friend. Indy, who's your best friend? Inquiring minds want to know. I know who drunk is, but drunk say if the female I'm getting to know ain't hit me up, he's sick. Ah, Jesus.
Since Marisha would ask all these questions, let me just lay this right here.
Lay it dead.
Some single persons are not really single because they're acting married.
Oh God.
You cooking?
Oh God.
You cleaning? You washing clothes.
Oh God.
You bringing lunch.
Oh God.
You picking up the children from school.
Lord Jesus.
You minding the children when?
Where?
And you can't say children. You have to say children because it's more than one. It's many. And it's so bad that when his boys see you, they calling you wife.
Wifey. That's your wifey. Wifey reach.
It's so bad that when you go to dinner, and I don't know who I'm talking to, but when you go to dinner, you are referring to him as your husband, but you're really single.
Ooh.
So much so that they have to ask you because y'all together so much, when the wedding, man?
Ooh.
But you're single. And I'm not talking about something that's just been going on for a year, but no, you want.
Oh, Lord.
You want the milk without buying the cow.
You gotta buy the cow. The cow has to be bought.
Okay, I'm
The cow has to. Cow's expenses.
There is something that hits you when you are with this particular person that gives you a wife spirit. You have the spirit of a wife without.
Why are you doing this today, woman of God?
Without the actual. Okay, I'll leave that there.
Why are you doing? You just.
You don't mind putting It's Complicated on your Facebook.
Jesus, Holy Ghost and fire.
But you playing house, wife. Okay. It's not, I promise you, it's not personal today. Just want to deal with the relationship status. What are you really? Are you married or are you single? Okay.
Push pause. On a real note, many people won't post their real status anyway unless they are married. Some people too nosy in one instance and in another. It is really complicated. Like,
I don't even know what my status is on my Facebook.
Like, I hear, but I really don't want to be here.
I really don't. I don't even think. No, I know for sure that my Facebook doesn't say Joyna Gibson married to Daniel Gibson.
You can do something about that.
But why? To please who? It not being on Facebook makes us less married? Okay.
That's why you don't give wife benefits to special friends.
You could say something a moment ago.
No.
Okay.
See, because I'm married, so I can't talk to the married people and
but this is single people taking on I'm gonna say the spirit of the wife. Or the
Jesus.
Spirit of the husband, and you're doing all of these things.
Jesus.
And at the end of the day, this person really doesn't want to be married to you. You know why? Because they're buy the cow when they're getting the milk for free. You doing
so
everything.
You think we've created this complicated this complicated situation?
Yes.
Within relationship statuses, because we just keep giving it away.
We're giving it away easy. And then like sometimes women are so easily manipulated when a guy says something like, listen, I need to know what you could do for me as a wife, so I need you to start cooking and cleaning and making sure you could keep house and making sure you could do this and do that and the next thing.
Right.
And then 10 years go by, I still cooking and cleaning, washing your clothes, taking care of your children. Matter of fact, I may have already had a child for you and you still don't want to marry me. Because the truth of the matter is, if you are not married, you are single. Okay. Mm-hmm. To the married person that is walking around here like you are single. You don't cook. You don't clean. You don't wash clothes. You don't take care of the children. I just want to know what your relationship status is. Are you really married? Are you really concerned about your children and your household? I just want to know.
Text line says, this is serious. Some women have the spirit of a wife naturally. Like myself, I have always been that way, and I naturally seclude myself from others. Mm. On the flip side, stop expecting husband benefits at a girlfriend level. Pay your own bills. Hashtag.
Please.
Pay.
And that could be why we are bullied into taking care of someone because they're taking care of the bills.
Okay.
So you making sure my lights stay on, you making sure the children eat.
So I have a question then, because you're married. We're talking about relationship status, right?
Oh, yeah.
At what point in your relationship do you become a financial obligation to the other person that you're with? Like when do you when do you start to be like, okay, this I pay in this bill.
Before marriage?
Yeah, like at what point? At what place? Like how do you work that out? I've always wanted to know because, I mean, don't get me wrong. When I was engaged, I was very young. So, he was paying all the bills.
But see, I could give advice, but I can't really say from experience because me and Daniel were young. So we didn't really have a ton of bills to say, okay, this needs to go here, this needs to go here. But as it stands now, we take care of everything. Yeah. Yeah. So,
that's why I carry my pet back to the pet store. Plus, I'm allergic to pets anyway.
Yeah, I think.
So, you remember when?
This probably happened after we got married.
So, it was after you got married?
Yeah, for
us. So, before you got married.
It was something that we talked about, though.
Like he didn't pay for your nails to get done, your hair to get done. Yeah. Okay, so that's bills.
Okay. When you say bills, I think like, light water.
Cable. Okay, yeah, no, that's different.
Right. So
necessities.
So, you know, it wasn't the same for me. It may be different for someone else.
Right.
And I think and this is tricky because mm-hmm. when you see yourself, okay, we're in this for the long run, we're engaged, we're preparing for our wedding. Mm-hmm. There are some things that we need to talk about financially. But even before we get there, while getting to know you and while in a relationship with you, I should know how you handle money. I should know how you manage it. And
so the conversation should be about money, not necessarily you paying my bills. That's what you're saying.
Right. And how things should work out or could work out. What you thinking?
No, because I'm like, okay. I hear people say these things about how, you know, this shouldn't happen and that shouldn't happen. And I agree. I agree that nobody should be a financial burden until a level of commitment exists. But then I also recognize, too, that finances could be somebody's difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
And that person who God is joining them with could be the key to strengthening them financially.
Okay.
As well as they could be like, you know what, emotionally unavailable. And this person comes to open them up emotionally. So like wherever I'm weak, the prayer is, the hope is that God sends me a spouse who is strong in that area. And I'm wondering sometimes if we magnify the finances thing as like a big, huge thing, because
I think
money answers all things. So I think because of that, I think we, you understand what I'm saying? Make it a big thing.
I think it's a matter of if you could tell when someone is overdoing it.
Ah, okay.
You are a sucker. You only want this man for his money. And yes, you may be in a financial deficit.
Right.
Whatever.
Right.
But you have a job now. When he met you, you didn't have a job. You have a job now and he's still paying for everything.
Question then. Isn't the relationship a preview of what is to come in marriage? Pay my own bills. Yes, I have the capacity, but are they capable of doing so? If we don't test it, finances break marriages.
I don't.
I understand where she's coming from,
but I don't fully agree with the test per se.
I think it's the way.
Do you mean like the test would be like the conversation?
So or the test could, like, the test
let
could
me put
be,
all these bills on you and see if you can handle
see,
it.
See, I think you test tests in their like objective state increase according to the level of difficulty,
mm-hmm.
right? As you move up. So I think that like at some point in time before you get married, your finances have to intermingle
right.
because
right.
you eventually have to pay for a wedding together.
Right.
So I think the question that I'm asking is, and as we have this conversation about relationship status, is like at what point in time do you begin that merge and that combining? Because the thing is, if I'm getting married, and let's say, for instance, like I'm hoping that at the point in time I get married, I'm in my home.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to have the conversation with my future husband. Okay, so right. here are what my bills are
right.
in the house that I currently right. live in. How I can say this without exposing my business. So hypothetically, you know, we're not going to be living here because your house is bigger than mine.
Right.
But you may not want us to live in your house either. You might want us to start afresh and just like
right.
do something new.
Right.
So what are we going to do? Because you got a house, I got a house. What are we going to do?
Right.
So,
but
we need to have that conversation.
Right, but that conversation doesn't come in 2 months.
Definitely not. But yeah. I think
if you know this is if the goal, you and I are together.
We're dating and we know marriage is the goal.
We not just the goal, but we know that this is what we're planning
right.
towards. It's not this great fairy tale in the future.
Right, right, right.
This is what we're actually working towards.
So we got to have that conversation.
We have to have that conversation.
And the money has to intermingle before we get married.
And I think the time for the conversation depends on...
on the relationship.
Yeah, and the maturity of,
right.
of two persons. So I think
so
it could be different for everyone.
what we're saying though is that many of us are making financial demands too early and inappropriately.
I missed that last part.
Many of us are making financial demands too early and inappropriately.
Yes. Just because we want someone.
So if we're doing all these things pre-marriage, why are we getting married? Where do we draw the line? That's the same question I had. And I think that, I don't know. Like the more we have this conversation about relationship status, I'm realizing that there are some things that have to exist in a relationship before marriage that are marriage relationship things.
Like what?
Like intimacy.
What kind?
Not sexual intimacy. I'm not talking about physical stuff. There's a level of intimacy. Seeing into me. Okay. You seeing into me. No, that can have to happen before we get married.
Okay.
No, like you mentioned. No, but, we can need...
But that can't be like into marriage because marriage is the actual...
No, what I'm saying is that...
Because you're saying it's the same thing that you do in marriage.
It's preparation for the... Because it's not going to be the same thing. Because it's going to be deeper in marriage. Right. But I'm saying it's going to look like marriage.
Okay.
Because it's preparation for marriage.
Okay.
So the accountability that should exist prior to marriage should look similar to that of the accountability in marriage. No?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. For conversation's sake, okay. Give me some more examples.
Like, if we engage, we get married in 2 months, and you and I don't live in the same place, but it's after 2 o'clock in the morning and you went home. No, sir. I don't know where you are. No, man. No. It's after 2 o'clock in the morning. You ain't say
who you with.
Is that not a level of accountability that's required before marriage? It's 2 months away from the wedding.
2 months away from the wedding, that's a red flag.
So it should be something that's said.
Yeah.
Okay then. So,
what it seems like you're trying to say is there's a level of
Jesus.
The spirit of marriage that happens before marriage. But my point earlier, when I'm saying like you're single but you're acting like you're married or you have the spirit of the wife, is after time, you have no intentions on being married.
I know what you mean. Right. No, I know what you mean.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
I agree with you on that.
That's what I'm thinking about.
I'm diving into this here, what she's talking about, which is like how, you know, like how do we... Where is the genesis?
Where
is the genesis of the transition of the two becoming one?
Everyone's genesis is different.
Everybody. See, that's all I wanted to hear you say.
Right? Everyone is different.
It's according to the relationship.
However.
Mm-hmm.
You know you can't run out and be.
Right. Which is what's happening out there. No. Put all the bills on them. Oh, Jesus. Do you know what your partner's actual bills are? Are they so financially strapped that you are now having to take care of marital bills? Plenty don't have this conversation. Whoa.
When we get married, your bills become my bills.
Yes.
And.
Yes.
If we get divorced, my bills still, your bills and your bills.
They sound like Stranger Things out after 2 o'clock.
Stranger Things, man of God. Strange.
No, but this is a real conversation. Okay, yeah. So many of us out there are out there. I'm saying us. Many of us are out there single and we ain't really single. And this concept of being labeled as single is twofold for me. I think it's important that the single individual is actually single in reference to what we're talking about as in like your relationship status. So you're not entangled with other people. And you need to ask yourself that question. Like, is your heart all mixed up in somebody else, even though there's no label on the relationship? Or are you like mixed up with somebody, husband or wife? Like what you're doing?
You mix up with a friend.
Some people
really love their friends
with
more
benefits.
Actual friend, not with benefits yet.
Okay,
more than their spouse. So if me and this chair is in a relationship, and I just talk to Marisha all the time.
And you know how to tell.
You gotta be
right. Right.
You're more interested in that. So I think that's something too.
So the element of like being in that relationship or not being in a relationship, but not really knowing where you are as a single person is one thing. But then are you a whole individual? Like, can we actually call you single? Because when you go with the biblical definition of being single, it means being whole. That's what the word actually breaks down to in the Greek. So are you a whole individual or is it 70 all up in there? And you trying to join your 7 with my 14. What are we doing here? It's
really legion to me.
Legions. Mm. Not even legion. Legions. And that's not correct to say legions because legion is already plural.
Legions. That's how much you got. You got to ask.
So I think it's so important for us as single people to look at it. Like, I was just talking to my sister today. We hadn't talked in a while, and it was such a great conversation. I was talking to her today, and I was saying, "Bae, like, I don't know what happened in her life. Well, we figured it out. We figured out what happened in her life and what happened in my life that caused us to not talk to each other as much as we used to. But we had made a pact just after Dorian, after Hurricane Dorian, after she went through what she went through with Hurricane Dorian, we made a pact that whenever things got to the place where we felt like we had to look for people to talk to and to be there for us, we would always go to one another. And so we were having a conversation today just saying, like, how did we get so far away from that agreement that we made? Because we both were realizing that we had instances where we were reaching out to people and not necessarily getting back what we wanted to get back and reaching out. And so, you know, we made that recommitment today. Like, listen, no, babe, like, you was my real dog, babe. Yeah. Like, you know, at least my sister. A1. Like, this is what we do. We come to one another because we know them people out there ain't loyal, you know? And so, it's weird. It's this thing about us as human beings where we're looking for reciprocity. We're looking for, we're looking for reciprocation. We're looking for what we put out there to be returned. And for many of the single individuals, our relationship status may appear to be single to others out there. But when you look at our lives and the people that we're entangled with and the situations and circumstances that actually govern our lives, we're not really single. Yeah. What we are is entangled. And I hate to use that word because of the connotation attached to it, but it's true. We're entangled. There are people in our lives as single individuals who, when we don't hear from them, like homeboy, say, what do you say? He could dead. He could be sick. He'd be sick if he don't hear. Like, you know, and for some of us, we need to ask ourselves, like, is this an idol? Because we often look, you know, and we frown upon the children of Israel and their concept of idolatry because it was, you know, because we look at it as a physical thing that they actually created. But aren't these things also physical things that we're actually creating where we prioritize needing an individual over like running to God? I literally had a moment recently and I was driving out west. I don't know where I was going. And I was actually about to pick up the phone to call you to say something to you. And the Holy Spirit said to me, why not talk to me first? Wow. And I started to cry because I was like, oh my gosh. I'm so sorry.
I'm
so sorry.
You should have been my first thought.
Yeah. Because it was something amazing. It was something spiritual. It was something powerful. And I was like, oh, I got to call Joanie and tell her that. And the Holy Spirit was like, but wait, can you
talk to me?
Can you share that with me first? Like, can you share the joy that you're experiencing with me first? Like, can you share the excitement with me first? And like, it was at that point, I took my AirPods out of my ears. And if you was driving, you know, next to me, you would see my mouth going like I was talking to myself, you know, that kind of way. And so I was like, maybe you should put your AirPod back in your ears. So it don't look like you're talking to yourself, you know, that kind of way. And it's just as single individuals, especially for those of us who are believers, like, ask yourself the question, like, are these people that we're entangled with, these people that we're talking to, even the people that we're dating and we getting to know, are we going to them before we go to God? Because that's already setting ourselves up for major failure. And then for those of you who aren't believers, like, ask yourself, like, the questions about this relationship that you're trying to develop, like, is it healthy with that you have all these other people all mixed up in you? Like, is it a good thing that you can't you know, you just can't, you can't go a day. Never go a day without you. You know, like, can you, like, you know, I can't talk to the married people, join negative with y'all. I just saying, if you could be single. Before. And I want to make it clear, your girl got to work on this too. Your girl have to work on this too. Because like I said, believe it or not, this show topic actually came up because of a conversation that Joyne and I were having. Yeah. So, like, no, and the Holy Spirit was just talking to me about this week. He's like, hey.
Talk to me
Too much. Pull back off of this. No. And you calling too much. They ain't calling you.
Wow.
Stop calling.
Wow.
Stop that. Wow. When you look at your list of calls, all the calls say outgoing, in and say incoming.
Jesus.
Shut this down.
Holy Ghost.
Stop all this calling. I saw you. I'm somebody.
Yeah. But like to say, like, more than one person?
Me, I'm somebody.
Yes, you are. See the hand? Whatever that is right now.
Oh man. So yeah, I think is for single people, you know, we gotta check ourselves, man. And I know that's probably rushing to like the end of the show really quickly, but like that's just the burden that I have for us right now. Like we want to have healthy relationships. We want to have healthy marriages. We want to have we just want to be healthy, whole individuals. Mm. And in order for us to do and to be that, that we got to do some stock and we got to do some inventory and some things in there. They need to go back to where they come from. I'm not going to say send back to the sender. I'm going to say go back from where they come from.
Which is the sender?
Well, not all, because some of them ain't send. Some of them we bring. That's why I ain't say send back to the sender. Some of us, we went to the store and we pick it up ourselves. It wasn't sent to us.
We got our recyclable bag.
We gone in there looking for what we wanted. And
pick it up.
And we pick it up.
Okay.
And that's why I can't say that.
But the thing is, I started to think, I guess like maybe like a week or two ago, about my friendships.
Oh.
And that's a relationship that, like, you know, I guess we don't pay as much attention to it.
No, because, not all the time.
Because we're more concerned about the husband and wife or the boyfriend, girlfriend, or the fiance, etc. Mm-hmm. And we are losing some friendships because...
Absolutely.
Because of...
Some of us, we're not found friendly.
And because of pride, and because you really like to be a loner, and that can be a hindrance to just you as a person.
Because you're nice.
And then it then spills over into your personal relationship.
Right.
Because
you put a burden on your spouse because you ain't got no friends.
You ain't got no friends.
Your spouse can't catch a break.
Because you ain't got no friends.
You always up underneath them.
You ain't got no friends.
And you want to know why you want to be on the roof.
That's something to think about because we don't take it that serious. It's not like I found myself like when I was a little younger.
Okay, then.
I was a little younger, so old. That I was very nonchalant when it came to my friends. If you come, you come. If you go, you go. And that was my motto for like years. Only recently that changed, and I guess I still have a lot more working on that I can do. Mm-hmm. But I think that it speaks to your personal relationship as well, how you handle your friends.
Mm.
What do you think?
I've been told sometimes that I take my friendships too seriously.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who told you that?
Somebody who don't take their friendships seriously.
Okay. Okay.
Who actually they said that I was one of the people that taught them real friendship. Mm. For me, I was the extreme opposite of you. So I needed to set boundaries in my friendships because I was too open, too forgiving, too loose, too just like... whatever. Oh, so this is what you need? Okay, I got you. Like, I was just very much the other extreme. Like, it didn't matter what my friend needed, whatever my friend wanted.
Do you think that's a level of thirst?
Definitely for approval, yeah. for acceptance, being needed.
Yeah.
So very narcissistic in nature.
Yeah.
Being wanted.
Yeah.
So, you know, coming from abandonment. Also to lack of identity because my ability to do for you defined me and not.
Okay.
Not just an identity outside of what I can do. So I defined myself based upon my ability to please you or not.
And like, where did you draw the line? Like,
oh boy. So the marker for me was actually a forbidden relationship that pulled me out of it. Mm-hmm. The individual who I was talking to at that time showed it to me. Mm. Showed me how like I was doing all these things for people and they wasn't jacking.
Right.
And he was like,
this don't make no sense.
You realize they don't even call you.
They don't care about you.
And I listening to you on the phone saying, boy, you don't jack for me. And all they doing is saying a key, key, key. They ain't saying sorry.
Right.
And they don't ever call you back.
Mm.
But when they do call you, oh, Marisha, I need you to...
They need something.
And he's like, no, babe.
I think my issue was like, or is, I'm not giving you room to do that.
So you're the other
right,
extreme.
So it's like,
so extremes aren't healthy. Let's just say we established in this conversation extremes.
What you won't do is have me for no conk.
Right. Right. Extremes are not healthy. And then two, I'll be honest with you, one of the things that I had to learn too was levels of friendship. Because as much as we don't like it, there are people in our lives who are only supposed to receive from us.
Yeah.
We are not supposed to get anything from them. That our sole responsibility in their life is to pour, is to release. They, their only job in your life is to be a leech. And we don't like that because we, as human beings, we want reciprocity back. We need to get that back. But no, there are some places that we've just been called to pour because there is nothing to get back from there.
Do you call that friend? I wouldn't call that person a friend.
See, but I initially I used to be like, well, no, that damn my friend, but no. Yeah.
How?
Because
someone being your friend and you being friendly to them is two totally different things.
I agree. But what I won't do, and maybe this is the, I guess, tender-hearted side of me. I won't allow that person to be out there calling me a friend, and I don't do the same.
Oh, Marisha, help me with that.
Because it's about the connection, and it's all about me ensuring that this person can still receive from me because I recognize that my role in their life is for them to receive from me. So I have levels of friendship. They're all friends, but there are levels of friendship. So I pour into this person as a friend. They don't pour into me as a friend. I have another level of friendship where those friends pour into me.
It really sounds like a lot. And
it's a structure in my mind, but I'm not saying that that's what everybody should do, but it's how I set up my life so that for me.
So that you don't get hurt. You don't expect, you expect too much from the wrong
and I
person.
I needed delineation. I needed to know that there are some people who I pour into who are not friends because those people exist. Because there is a moment in time that I interact with you and I have to release something into you or something from my life has to be released onto you or simply just I'm supposed to be a blessing to you in that moment and that's it. But the people who are like, I mean, Joyne, there are people who have been in my life for years. I mean, years where their connection to me is simply that God has placed something on the inside of me for them and they have never given into me. And I'm okay with that. I'm good.
It's really just the friend thing.
It's the label for you because the label for you means something different. And that's good because you need to know where you're at. You need to know what the relationship status is. I'm not confused about the status of those relationships because I've already placed a construct in my mind to say, well, this person is where you go. This person is a pouring into friend. But this person is a receiving friend.
My issue comes in. Okay, let's call it level one, level two, level three.
So level three for me would be brother or sister.
Okay. Right?
Right.
But if no, okay.
I'm not blood brother or sister. I just want to make sure that's clear.
Okay.
You understand?
You have someone who is demanding level three, who is in level one.
Mm-mm, you can't.
But that's why I don't.
Yeah,
that's why I can't.
Call. What is no? This Jeopardy. What is no? But somebody who demands level three connection,
right?
Because, from a level one position,
right?
What is no?
Because I think that's where my conflict comes in. Because what you want is level three.
Yeah. And, no. But here's the thing. According to the boundaries you set in defining the status of the relationship, you shouldn't even think you could get access to level three.
No, but see, they've seen me interact with level three.
They've
seen me in level three laugh and cry.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Give me this level three treatment. Although I'm at level one, and then I'm a terrible person for saying we're not friends. And then you make me look bad because you say, well, you can't be out here. Someone calling you their friend, or even like someone calling you their best friend.
Oh, Jesus!
That's my best friend.
I definitely had a time in my life where people was calling me their best friend, and I was like, ooh.
Right, so what did you do? Just saying.
Let them be. Let's let them be.
No, but did you say, this is my best friend?
Mm-mm, because I don't believe in them.
Relationship status. Let's go back.
I don't believe in them. Yeah, no, I don't believe in them. I believe Jesus is the friend that's closer than a brother.
You believe level one, two, three. And three is brother and sister.
And I have friends in my life who are like sisters to me. I do. And you know what's crazy? There are people who I consider sister who I don't speak to every day, who I don't interact on a consistent basis. But you know when you need your sister and you could find them, and they can be that sister that you need them to be. And when they need you, they call on you and you step in. Like, but we don't talk the intimate details of our lives all the time. We don't get all up in each other's business.
What level is that person?
No, they're my sister.
But I assume level three will be the one who knows everything.
No.
So who know everything?
Which level Jesus. Is this? Jesus is the only one.
Oh, okay. I understand. Who and that's knows why they're everything. The best friend.
Exactly.
I understand.
Because I feel like we lie to ourselves if we tell ourselves everybody's going to fit in a category. That's so unfair. No two people are created alike. We should relate to individuals according to who they are, not according to the standards that we set for our relationships. I think that's unfair. How would you like it if Jesus were to say, okay, all of the praise and worship leaders, I'm going to deal with y'all like this. All of the female pastors, this is how I'm going to deal with you. And then all of you who live in the Bahamas, who call yourselves life coaches, this is how I'm going to deal with you. No, God's not like that. He's not like that. That's why Christianity stands out from every other religion, because we're not duplicates. We're not stamps.
Man, what you preaching?
We are individual, uniquely designed persons with no one in the earth having the same fingerprint. So no two people being alike. Even twins are different.
I just said that.
So my thing is, I think when it comes to relationship status and this conversation that we're having, we have to consider an individual's personality and how that personality connects with ours. Because I can call Joynay sister, and my blood sisters don't get offended because my level of relationship with my blood sisters is completely different.
Yeah.
It's different, and it's okay. Yeah. It's okay for me to say somebody is my sister who's not my blood, and I don't talk to her every day, but I know if I'm in the midst of a crisis that she's been through already, I can pick up the phone and I can call her and I can be like, hey, I'm going through this. I know you've been through this. Help me. Walk me through this. I just had to do something similar the other day with one of the leaders from our youth ministry, because she was dealing with a situation that I have never experienced in my entire life yet. I've not been there yet. And I was able to call on a sister friend of mine who had not only been there once, but twice.
Wow.
And I said, listen, I need you to talk to her, because while I know she looks to me for strength, in this situation, I don't have the strength to give it to her. And so I was like, I'm going to connect y'all too. Can you work this situation out here? Because I don't have it. And I don't think that that made me any less of an individual.
No. Or less of a leader.
Less of a leader. But what it did too was it helped me realize that, like, hey, like, it's okay to not have the answers for your friend.
Mm.
Like, it's okay to come to the end of yourself. And I think the major difficulty that a lot of us face in these relationships that we're still holding on to for dear life is that we haven't recognized that this relationship has brought us to the end of ourselves. And there needs to be a third cord in it.
I ain't talking about the story.
But I can't go there, because I ain't really with this conversation about today. We're talking about the status of relationship. Do you know
the status?
Troy ain't gonna ask the married people if y'all know the status of your relationship.
I mean, are you really married?
Mm.
Are you married to Facebook?
Ooh.
Are you married to Twitter and Instagram and YouTube?
And TikTok.
Oh, how could I forget TikTok? WhatsApp? What's really going on? Are you married to your ministry?
Ooh, or your job?
Or your job.
Or your business.
And then you call it, you know, on this grand hustle. I have to hustle. I have to get this right. When the reality is your family life is going downhill.
Or what about your work wife or husband?
They real. Like, people really.
They are real.
I've never experienced that. I've never even seen it.
I had one when I was a Dolphin Key.
So tell us about
me. Me and him still talk to this day.
So tell
me about
it. Well,
I mean, like, not like talk, but like, he's like my post on Instagram.
Okay.
And I know he's watched the show, so I know I can get a message for this.
So what was it like?
When he go for lunch, he'd be like, let's go for lunch. This time he'd be like, Misha, let's go to lunch. And so we go to the calf and go to lunch together. Like, when I go to work, I go looking for him. When he come to work, he come right. looking for me.
Okay, I understand.
And then, you know, outside of work, we don't talk.
What?
And the first time we spoke outside of work, I was no longer working at Dolphin Key. No joke. No joke.
What?
No joke. He was just my work husband. I was his work wife. And people called us that. People used to be like, hey, babe, your work wife here. And they used to be like, hey, Marisha. Well, yeah, it's when I see him today, like, you know.
Jesus.
And yeah, but those things are real.
I think back then things were a lot more pure. If you do something like that.
That wasn't that long ago.
How long ago, Marisha?
That was.
What year? 2000.
That was 2014. 2013, 2014.
The purity of 2014 is not.
It's no longer here.
It's not in 2022.
That's my boy, though. I ain't gonna lie. That's my boy. Whenever I see him out, I just give him the biggest hug. And I don't have a post on Instagram that he don't like.
Wow.
That's my boy.
So kind.
Like, sweetest person ever.
That's so kind.
Sweetest person ever.
I feel like now it's like, it's perverted because, you know, you have.
I feel you.
You have to be sleeping with this person or something must be going.
And then I have a friend husband. I don't know if that makes sense.
What you mean? Help me.
A friend who think he's my husband. But there's nothing sexual about the relationship. I just telling the truth. See, some single people will be out there. If they listen to this, they'd be like, yeah, I have one of them too. I have a male friend who looks out for me, who's concerned about me. If somebody do me wrong, this friend is going to show up and is going to be there for me. When it's time to celebrate me, this friend is one of the first people to do it.
Okay. He low-key like you. Ain't nobody can tell you. Be not deceived.
God is not mocked.
The man.
The man like you. He have a whole girlfriend.
And low-key
like you. And a whole new girlfriend too.
Low-key.
I know, man.
And if anyone agrees with me, please type in the comments. Because I need backup on this. And no man.
Oh, Holy Ghost.
No man. And then the thing is, he ain't even like, he's not accepting the title as this is one of my guy friends. He has to be the husband friend.
That's not his title. That's just what I call him.
But that's worse.
I say.
You that's believe worse.
You, I say, you believe he's my husband, you know. You believe you could tell me what to do. I am a whole woman. I am single. I'm going to live my life. And he's just burst out laughing. He's like, yeah, but do this.
Okay.
But here's the thing, though.
If it looks
here's
like a
duck. Here's what you're suggesting. Oh, Jesus.
And it quacks like a duck.
But here's what you're
are
suggesting,
are we
going to
call it
though.
A chicken? are we?
Listen, Mistress Gibson. What you are suggesting is that it is not possible for the relationship status between a male and a female to be platonic.
I'm not implying that.
That's what you're saying.
I am saying if I had to refer to you as my friend husband, or you refer to me as your friend wife, or you take on this, oh God, what is it? Please help me with the word Holy Ghost. You take on this sense of I must.
They call it a cornishan.
Call it a cornishan. If you have to take on this authority over me, because the reality is, when your husband reach, these people have to move to the left and to the right. And if this was platonic, okay, I rest.
I'm agreeing with Joyne. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to her. That's okay. Coming from the Dex line. Listen, I like y'all.
I'm just saying.
Anyway, let me just say what.
No. Before we fuck yeah, see off the screen. What we can do is deal with this right here today, because this is a lie that we tell ourselves when people low key like us or we low key like them. And I'm not saying that this is Marisha's case.
It's not.
However,
it's definitely not.
However, that's a red flag. That's a red flag for me.
I will say this. And like I said, he's in a new relationship. So we had a girlfriend before since we were friends. And now
so Lisa say he's a whole rooster.
Oh my God. Y'all need to stop. Y'all stop. He had a friend before. He had a girlfriend before. He had a girlfriend before. He and the girlfriend broke up and now he's dating somebody else. So, yeah, no.
This sound like those stories like, oh, we dated a lot. I saw it in the comments before. We dated other people for such a long time.
What are we not going to do?
And then, wait for it. And then, you know, just suddenly one day we just end up on a cruise ship together.
On a cruise ship?
I don't know. Whatever. We end up on a cruise ship together. And he expresses love for me. And he said, you know, all of those years I was looking out for you, Marisha. I really wanted to tell you I love you. And he said, oh my God, I love you too. And then, da, da, da. And the next minute, you know, Joe, meet me on a cruise ship. We getting married. That's what it sounds like.
Giselle said, I see no lies there, Marisha. There are still some genuine friendships that exist. Genuine. Yeah, thanks.
And they don't
Giselle.
Call them friend husband and friend wife.
I don't appreciate
you can't call
all
them
the rest
friend.
Of these people.
You can't call them a friend husband and don't take on
he's a Cornish hen.
Rooster. Rooster. Please deal with the rooster. If it looks like a duck, quack, like a duck.
No, but for real, I'm not gonna lie. He's one of the most genuine friends that I've ever had, and I know we know where the line is. This conversation is about establishing the line. Many of us, we don't have no lines.
Thank you.
When your boyfriend, spouse comes along, introduce them to your friend. Absolutely, I will introduce them to them.
But you can't call them your husband friend.
No, I can't.
That's my point.
Tarika, you go have a seat.
Listen, they in the chapel on the people cruise ship.
Tarika, leave.
Marisha calling me, telling me she needs a dress to put on.
What did the demon say in the church to Jesus? Leave us alone.
Leave us alone. Listen, Marisha, on the cruise ship, calling me Joe.
What y'all not gonna do is come for me on this show. We're talking about the married people who are entanglements.
And if anyone know Marisha, like I know Marisha, she's doing the FaceTime show. Listen.
Leave me alone.
There's this dress in my closet. When you go by me, this is what I need you to.
I almost say something on the radio I'm supposed to say.
I need you to get this dress.
He may be the very one to. No. No, sir.
Okay.
No, he may be the very one to propose to Marisha unexpectedly. One thing, Majol, y'all could create.
Listen, I have a whole story in my mind. I see it on
y'all
a cruise
could create things. Too much Lifetime. Y'all watch Lifetime too much.
I've never watched
too much Hallmark movies for Christmas.
But I see it.
No, we are not going to run into each other in the snow-capped mountains in a cabin all of a sudden. I don't know.
Yeah, and then your room just happened to be side by side.
No, it's not going to happen.
And then while you're out to lunch, they hear someone come and decorate the room. Boy, anyway.
One thing with you though.
I'm just saying.
Anyway, Joyne talking to the married people.
I really want to deal with Marisha, husband, friend.
Leave my husband friend alone.
I'm waiting for it.
Leave my husband friend alone. Marisha, where he's supposed to be. He knows his position in life.
When this man propose, don't call me, please.
And I know.
And I can say,
Marisha, I know my position in his life.
Okay.
Point blank, period. But I think that we need to restore the purity.
There is none.
You don't think there's no purity in male and female relationships?
It's difficult to find. I don't want to say there is none. It's difficult to find. There is this guy that, I just can give you a little backstory. I was saying from when I was 15, right? And, don't worry about how old I am now. For some time now, I've known this guy. His name is Bradley. I could say that. His name is Bradley, and we grew up together in church as friends. And when I promise you, Bradley loved me.
Oh, Jesus.
Bradley loved. When I say love me. And coming up, normal struggles as a teenager, as a Christian, he needed me to bail him out. Joe, I'm in a situation. Come get me.
Right.
Bradley, I'm in a situation. Come get me. And right. That's the relationship that we have.
Right.
Or I guess coming up to this time. Mm-hmm. And then for a while, and I didn't see him for a while. And then he came back to church and me and Daniel married.
Mm-hmm.
He tells my husband, "But Joe, your wife, I love her." Daniel and Bradley are now like this. I don't have a friend no more.
Smart man. Daniel.
I rest my case.
Daniel Gibson.
And he has a beautiful fiance who was on the praise team with me.
You
and
it's pure.
Smart man. We cool like that. But smart but I wouldn't refer to him as my friend husband.
That's fine.
You see it?
That's fine.
Boom. So I think it's possible. I just think.
That's fine.
I just think it's rare.
I just think too that when I use the term husband, it's important for people to understand what that means to me, because
someone who looks out.
He's a protector. He protects me.
Marisha, I want to see, but I can't see.
I know you can't see, and that's why it ain't your friendship is mine.
I try and see it.
There are genuine friendships, man. We have to snatch it back by force. Can't allow the enemy to pervert the innocence of real friendships, yeah. And we accept it.
But then on the flip side too, let's really not be naive.
No, let's not be, definitely.
When we know, and then some women are very cunning. Mm-hmm. They would know that this person is in love with them and keep them in the friend zone and call them a friend and get all of the husband
benefits when they friend zoning,
right? People. And then when y'all on a cruise ship together, I let the cruise ship go.
You don't let the
when
cruise
y'all on
a cruise go.
Ship together and you tell him no when he proposed to you.
Why do you think it's so hard for us to draw lines? Why do you think we like leaving the door open?
What I really think, I can't answer and say. I think we just want to be able to tip over and out when we want to. Mm. If I draw a line, I can't go across this line.
And we have to be accountable to it.
And we have to be accountable to it. So I think
we don't want to be held accountable.
Mm. Mm-mm.
I think sometimes too we don't want to box ourselves in to like
totally dismissing someone.
Yeah,
that could be it.
Yeah, and then sometimes we do it. Sometimes we box people in and we friend zone. I was scrolling on Facebook last night and I saw somebody post something about where can a good Bahamian woman find a decent Bahamian man, and one of the comments underneath was in the friend zone. Now, I ain't gonna lie, they made me analyze myself, and I thought about it, and I was like, oh, good. I don't have nobody in the friend zone who's not married, so I honor the Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Bless Jesus. But yeah, like, I was like, babe, That's real though, because mm-hmm. in my younger days,
that's where they
I friend zoned a lot of people. Yeah, I didn't know. I had to look at myself. I was like, Marisha, is there anybody that you could really be with who you have friend zoned right now? And I laid there for a while and I was like, nah, I good.
Wow.
I good. But I mean, we got them in the friend zone. Join A, this is not the love boat. We ain't even on a dinghy. As they say, everyone who compliments you ain't want right. you. That's what I'm saying, man. Like, there's, I mean, I don't know. I don't know where the pure people are. Or Jesus tells me.
Few. Many are called.
Few are chosen. Chelsea say, I have a few currently in the friend zone.
It's really the truth for me. Okay. So relationships.
Right. So the status of your relationship, right?
Because Chelsea's your whole bomb.
Chelsea!
Who's Joe Bowman run?
My God, woman of God.
Cara.
This is a situation. Okay, you know what? We almost out of time. Let's just turn the curve right here. Let's make a sharp turn. Let's talk about the married people who would entangle man.
But what kind of entangle this is? This is the one with Jada and Will entangle or?
Well, I mean, let's start there. People who live in y'all stop letting people in. I can't tell the people stop letting people in the house. But stop letting people in your house.
Are you gonna get some of these comments before we move any further?
I mean, come on, man. I mean, I'm married, so I don't get it. But I mean, on the outside, I'm looking in, right? And I'd be like, you let a single person come live with you? That's not smart. I just saying.
And they call it winning souls.
No. He that winning souls is wise. That's dumb.
You and your soul, go that way.
Exactly. Go like, he that winning souls is wise, not ignorant.
I don't want to talk about this. I just want to move on. Just yeah.
Comment. This person. In your house? No, man.
I mean.
No. And like, house literally and figuratively. Stop allowing these people who are on the outside of your marriage into your marriage, man.
And they always have advice. They always know what to do.
Talks too much.
Okay, I'll leave that alone.
It's none of their business. What's the difference between being in the friend zone than sister zone? That's according to how you said that, boo. I can't tell you. Mm. It's according to how you said it. I feel like if you're gonna call somebody your sister, there should be tenure. That's how I feel it. Mm. There should be tenure. And then I also am of the belief that there's a such thing as a divine connection, and God can say to me in a moment, I've called you to be a sister to this young lady, so do it. So I'm sorry. I ain't the one to ask that question to get like this amazing, beautiful definition, because I am governed by the Holy Spirit of God. And so if he tells me to befriend somebody or to be somebody's sister, or if he tells me this person is supposed to be a sister to me, I go in. I'm going to be obedient because I don't want to go before him, and I was disobedient. Man. So I think you need to know. You need to know according to you who you are, that person is, so on and so forth. Friend zone equals dating, exploring, examining, trying to figure it all out. Yes, Yolandi, this show is very interesting. Carl, why you putting the Baptist finger up?
You just reach out, you had a note.
No, ma'am, you gotta stay. Them living maids be living. Listen. Listen, Linda. The devil is a liar. Clint and leave. It's the married people on Facebook with their family profile photo. Not my Facebook friend. In my DMs.
Okay, guys, so this has been a great show today. Yeah.
Don't forget to do that girl thing.
Iron sharpens iron. Listen,
y'all can get me to run on this car. I need to run.
She right though.
It's really the audacity with the
It's definitely the audacity for me.
The profile picture.
And you know what? I'm not going to say that I have the same issue, but I will say this. When you send me a friend request with your family photo and I don't know you, who are you? Who sent for you?
Where you come from?
Do you have a heart?
Where's your soul?
Where's your soul?
Boy, this is rough, boy. This is rough.
Oh, Jesus! I can't because... No, and I mean like just in your profile picture, your cover page,
yeah,
is the wide family photo. Come on, man. I don't know you. You don't know me. What you adding me for? And why are you in homegirl Sister McKinney inbox? What you in her inbox? What you asking her? What you want to know?
Can't say matching pajamas.
Listen to me. What about married people out here inviting single people in their bedroom, but the single persons end up married to their husband?
When you say bedroom, do you mean the physical room or you mean bedroom?
Selisa say winning souls.
Winning souls. That's what they call it.
Some of these married people, damn, is Carrie.
Honestly. Honestly.
Carrie on very, very reckless.
There is a bad reputation. There is really a bad reputation. And
if I could tell you all the story that I heard today. Listen to me. Y'all wouldn't believe me. People out here telling people that they undercover agents from the United States so they could cheat on their wife and thing. Undercover agents.
That's extreme, man.
Mom, I did not make this thing up.
Okay, so which agency?
DEU. DEU. You out here lying to people.
So who buy that? Because someone had to buy that lie.
Oh, okay then. Out here saying you have a night job and you're going home to your wife. You telling your girlfriend you have a night job.
That's a lot
to go home to
a
your
lot
wife.
Of work.
Okay.
Jesus, look at Brina. Holy Ghost.
Okay.
Hi. I'm scared.
Okay. So Lisa say bedroom.
Yeah. That's dangerous.
Bedroom. And
Brina.
Man, I ain't gonna lie, right? We had this conversation, not the show, not the last week's show, but the show before. And so I hear me from the most pure place. I don't like when we demonize adulterous relationships to make it seem like it's above every other
sin.
That was last show. Eh?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't like it. I don't like when people do that. I don't like when we make it seem like it's the worst sin that you could ever commit. However,
hold on. From you could say you undercover from the home. we're not demonizing you, sir.
No.
You?
No. A liar is a thief. And a thief is a murderer. You could kill.
You could kill.
You could kill.
How you would say you was a
you could kill,
undercover
man.
Agent from the
you could kill. United States. You could kill. You could kill, babe.
You could kill. Risha, I am done.
The rest of the show is yours. I am done.
No, babe. I ain't gonna lie. And I'm just like, really? Mm. Oh, man. I'm saying, let me see. For those of y'all who say y'all want to do ministry and y'all want to do life with people, these are some of the things that's going to come across you.
God.
And I didn't even know. I was like, no. And then they was telling the story and it got to the point where I couldn't tell what was true from the lie because it was like, what? I'm so confused. You getting kidnapped and think what in the world? Some of these friends have married people down. Forget their title as capital FRIE NDS friends.
I don't think I really have that issue with my friends.
Right.
Well, I don't have a lot of friends. Let me start off there. And I don't think I have this issue. Maybe because of my face. Because like some things you just like certain things you know you just can't go around certain people
mm-hmm.
you don't gotta go deep for that. You just could see that they're the kind of person
mm-hmm.
and I think when we make statements like this, make sure that we're not giving that friend too much room.
Yes,
Because we say, remember your title as a friend, but if you have me in your...
You're being slack.
Yeah. You know, you can get
oversharing.
Very, yeah. So I think that's another way to look at it too. So
you have to use wisdom. Here we back radio. He that winneth souls is wise.
You need prudence, man.
Mm.
You have to.
Self-control is a fruit of the spirit.
You know what's happening, and I think
I could use some more. I drink soda today.
Married person. I saw a post on Facebook, and they said, if marriage was the solution to your fornication, there would be no adultery. And if marriage was a solution to just something, then it wouldn't be no something else. And I find that, like you said, when we're single, we're whole.
Mm-hmm.
And because we have two halves coming together, it's creating a mess.
The assumption is this half, because some of us is a third or a quarter.
Barely. And it's creating a mess in marriages. Yes. And it's giving marriage a horrible name.
Because I've even heard preachers say this. I sing to weddings. So I want y'all to know, like, I have heard every kind of wedding that there ever could be at. And I've actually heard preachers say that so-and-so is completing so-and-so. And I'm like, so we out here putting incomplete people together? This what we doing? This was happening? Okay.
I don't want to comment on that. But
so I finish. I'm done. According to my skin, I done. My skin say cook. But burnt. So I'm done.
Anyway, so I'm not going there.
No, but I mean that's a serious thing. It's one thing for the JP to say it, but not the pastor, man. Come on, man.
Anyway. We have a lot of broken people getting a lot of broken people are getting married, and they're using marriage as a solution. And it's actually marriage magnifies, because you are with that person 24/7. Yes, Carol, quick maths.
She would know. Quick maths. Two halves make a whole mess.
And that is true. I think when you're pursuing marriage and it's, you know, something that you're really interested in, you need to make sure that you're healed.
Yeah, man.
And
deal with the things you need to deal with.
And don't get married because you want to have sex. I know it's better to marry than to burn, but listen, man, let me take my chances burning than to be in a binding covenant.
My God.
And create a mess of someone else's life. And worst case scenario, you think these people get sick?
I read something in my devotions recently, and I'm trying to find it.
Okay, you found it?
Go ahead, finish while
Marisha is finding, right? My pastor always tells a story when she's preaching, and she talked about this woman. This woman who specialized in, you know, being the sweetheart of married men, right? And she had full-blown AIDS. And she said she was about to sleep with this married man whose wife was a Christian. And usually it takes nothing of her to, for quote-unquote, take down a married man. And she would, you know, give all of these persons AIDS. And she said when she used to be in church, she was a Christian before and backslide, however, and then pursued married men only to give them this disease intentionally. And she said when she entered this woman's house, she saw the lady's picture on the wall, the wife's picture. They were going to sleep in their bed. Mm-hmm. Cut the movie. Mm-hmm. She said when she looked at the picture, the Holy Ghost told her, do not sleep with her. Do not sleep with this woman's husband. Just like that. And my issue is, I can put this out there. Why is the Holy Ghost not stopping people anymore? That woman was, based on how Pastor told the story, this lady was so convicted And it's almost like she had like this moment like where God told her, listen, if you sleep with him, you destroy her and she belongs to me. And people now have become so heartless.
Familiarity.
So heartless and so cold, and they actually brag about being with your husband or brag about being with your wife. Mm. And it is this coveted thing, like, oh, you know I could get him, watch me. It is a goal, and that is so scary. And then when we have conversations like about having a male friend or having a female friend, and we wonder why it cannot be seen purely, it's because of things like this. I rest my case. Mm.
Or when they say the one God kept for you, as if God is Cupid, oh Jesus, and took away your free will. That's heavy, Giselle. That's serious. Going to sleep in their bed, the disrespect. They now call it the people, their man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there are a ton of memes. Mm-hmm. On Facebook about it, and it's a joke now. So the covenant is no longer
sacred.
Yeah.
I had to read this week in my devotional. It's 1 Corinthians 7. So this is Paul talking to the church in Corinth, and he starts in verse 25. He says, now concerning the betrothed, I have no command from the Lord, but I give my judgment as one by the Lord's mercy. As one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. I think that in view of the present distress, it is good for a person to remain as he is. I ain't gonna lie. Paul, you get me there. Can I tell you a question that I asked a professor in college? Y'all don't judge me. This is a legit conversation. And I opened it up to my young people recently too. And it like triggered something in them and made them realize like how sometimes we read scripture, but we don't realize that we don't recognize the person writing the scripture is a person, like a human person.
Right.
So I asked my professor after studying Paul, mm-hmm. I said, do you think it's possible that the thorn in Paul's flesh was that he was a homosexual? And then he asked me why I said that. Mm. I said, because Paul is the only person in the Bible I see who say it's good for you to be alone.
Why you want us to be alone?
Why you want us to be alone, Paul?
No, but he said, given the current... Read the
distress.
Read, right. What distress you in, Paul?
What distress is it? What is
what
it?
Distress you in, Paul? You were telling half of the story.
Why, Paul? Why you ain't saying the whole thing?
Right.
So my professor, he said, you know what? You might be onto something. He said, you might need to do some research. I said, no. I said, I wasn't asking for a project. It just ran across my mind when I was in college. And I threw it in front of my young people recently. And he's like, boy. That's a why, but like, you know, like Paul wasn't. Paul wasn't Tingerman. Anyway, so I just had to put that out there because it was a thought that I had.
And I thank God that Paul said, he started off by saying that this is not what God told me.
No,
but this is just what I think.
This is what I think.
Thank God.
So,
God, sir,
yeah,
and thank God that was not God.
Exactly, because
to tell us to be alone.
Listen, because it's not good.
Because it's not good.
It's not good for me to be alone. No. So he says, "Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be free."
What Paul dealing with?
Are you free from a wife? Do not seek a wife. Come on, Paul, man.
Paul. What you doing?
What do you mean? Do not seek a wife. But if you do marry. You have not sinned. And if a betrothed woman marries, she has not sinned. Well, glory to God.
Thank you, Paul, for clearing that up.
Yet, those who marry will have worldly troubles. And I would spare you that. Now, when I read that, I say, now you're right. Because here's what he says. This is what I mean. Brothers, the appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none.
Look here.
And those who mourn as though they were not mourning. And he goes on to say, and those who rejoice that they were not rejoicing. In other words, he's asking you to cast off the carnal state of your current situation. He says, I want you to be free from anxieties. Because he says, the unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, not to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, about how to please his wife. And his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But that married woman is anxious about worldly things, about how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit.
Paul, what you're saying is God didn't get it right.
Listen to me.
That's what you're trying to say. I mean,
I say this for your own benefit. Not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. If anyone thinks that he is not behaving properly towards his betrothed, if his passions are strong and it has to be, let him do as he wishes. Let them marry. It is no sin. And this is the thing. Okay, I was reading the English Standard Version. In KJV, that is, don't burn, marry. That's what that is.
Yeah, we saw that.
Okay, so my thing is, y'all, I read all of that to put the context in this whole conversation that Joyne brought up, where people are burning and then getting married and expecting the marriage to cure your burning, and now you're wondering why there's so many entanglements and other people in your marriage. Because you're listening to Paul, and Paul said this ain't Jesus. Paul said it's me. Read your Bible. It's a good book.
I don't know how I really feel about Paul right here.
That's why I thought what I thought. You understand why I thought what I thought?
Because Paul,
come on now. Listen to me.
Okay.
Paul didn't rate Eve at all.
He didn't even reference it.
God said Adam couldn't be lonely, so he gave him Eve. Paul said, forget that. Stay by yourself. Play by yourself.
Jesus.
No, but here's the thing, though. I think that if we read the whole thing, listen to everything that Paul has to say. Here's what stands out to me. Paul says, listen, when you are married, expect there to be a fight.
Yeah.
Because your heart, your flesh, your soul will want to be towards your spouse.
Yeah.
But your spirit man will always want to be toward God. Yeah. And so the solution to this is not necessarily what Paul is advising from his own advice. The solution to this is to choose a spiritual partner so that there's less of a fight.
Yes.
Because you will have to meet the needs, the carnal fleshly needs,
yes,
of your spouse. But if y'all are connected on a spiritual level, then hey, it's easier for me to meet the carnal fleshly needs of this one who I'm bound to, not just physically, but also spiritually. And that's why the status of many of our relationships is all messed up, because all we bound to is physical flesh.
Or only spiritual.
Or, ooh.
Now,
woman of God.
I said that. There is this video that I watch. Right? Steve Harvey show, and this praise and worship leader has a husband who's a musician. And first of all, my issue was why she was asking Steve, but anyway, I'll leave that alone.
Right.
Right? And she said, Steve, you know.
Hey, Steve.
My question is, when I'm a worship leader. Sorry, that's what I see it. I'm a worship leader, and my husband plays the piano. And you know, there are times that I'm trying to lead God's people in worship, and he's like, you know, winking his eye at me, and you know, he wants to feel me up before like, I guess he has to go up or whatever. Mm-hmm. And Steve was like,
"And I don't understand.
What you complaining about?
Right? Like, what's the issue here?
What's the problem?
Right?
And I say that to say." One is focused on the natural.
Come on.
One is focused on the spiritual.
Come on.
And although they were in the same arena, it doesn't mean that they were on the same page, per se. Let's say that, for lack of better analogy. And some the comments were mixed. Some were saying, like, miss, you know, people wish their husband would
listen.
Be all up on them. And then others were saying, well, you know, there's a time and a place. Chief, as you just... have sex in front of the whole congregation if you're going to do that.
Well, I disagree with that.
But that's what it's saying.
Yeah.
And I say that to say, I know you're married, but there must be some balance between the two. And said she was really rowing me. She's like, Trinae, you know what I don't like? And she said, I'd rather people, either you be hot or you be cold. Do not be in the middle and then convince me why you're warm is okay with not being too hot or not being too cold. And I think that the lady's issue was that he was too cold. And her concern was more about the intensity of her worship and the purity of her worship. Now, while I understand the man of God situated, mm-hmm. and while I understand the woman of God situated, why was that a problem? You understand? Like,
I trying to find a problem.
I
really try to see the issue here. Because for me, let's say that happened to me. I lead in worship. My husband did a keyboard winking at me.
Because
I could burst out laughing and then I could finish leading worship. And then when we finish,
crack a joke about it.
And then go home and do what we gotta do. Like, you understand?
Some persons is like, okay, meet me in the conference room.
Let's do this. Let's do it.
But I guess it made her uncomfortable.
You know, it's crazy though, because my boss has said something recently that actually made me even reconsider this whole hot, cold, lukewarm conversation. He says, many of us, our issue with the lukewarm people is not that they're lukewarm, but that in order to get warm water, there's the presence of hot and cold.
Wow.
So he said, our issue with the lukewarm situation is that in one instance, we see hot. And in the next instance, we also see cold.
Yeah.
And that's what makes the water lukewarm. Mm.
Preach, Bishop.
If they were neither hot nor cold, we would be absolutely okay with them in the middle. Because, I mean, most Christians do not have an issue with atheists. We leave them in their little space. I mean, some of y'all just pick fights. But that's another conversation for another day.
But
most of us who are like filled with the Holy Spirit and we live in our lives, like, we ain't going out there trying to beat up people who have an issue with going all the way Jesus or going all the way Satan.
Okay, just right there.
Nobody feels her hip while she praying before
so
service.
Is that okay?
I don't know, married woman, you tell me.
Like, tell me your perspective before I give my 5 cents.
I'm married.
Tell me your perspective. Cara, I want to hear your perspective.
That's
as well.
His.
Yeah.
That's his. And I mean, we talking about Paul. Paul did say this.
I will
but
not
he's
Paul. Listen,
no, but wait. We're talking about Paul. Paul said that Jesus said this. Well, God said this to him and he wrote it. Wife, your body belongs to your husband. You don't take off your ring and not be his wife because you're about to pray or you praying before service. That's why Paul say it's better for you to be by yourself because as a married woman, you are divided. You always have to think about how to please your husband and please God at the same time.
So let's just deal with why she asked Steve. That's really the question.
She went to Carnal Place for a spiritual answer. So that's an issue there. Right,
so
there.
What's the real problem?
Oh, child. I don't know because I'm single.
Anyway, okay. Should we over time?
We way over time. Y'all just talk plenty. Why y'all just talk so much like this?
It's Carol. Cara and Giselle.
They love us here all day. I just have to put this back up though because what Giselle said was very, very, she's very, she says, God said, Adam couldn't be lonely, so he gave him Eve. But Paul say, forget that. Stay by yourself and play by yourself.
So, what we're going to do is either obey Paul or obey God.
I can stick with God. I'm not going to answer to Paul. I'm going to answer to the Lord.
Me in the hands of my enemies ain't working.
Let me deal with God. Now, I will listen to what Paul has to say because he did offer some wisdom in what he had to say.
No, I'm just part of what Paul...
Yeah, just that little part right there.
It's really just the first piece.
But he did open our eyes to something, and that is this, that marriage is both carnal and spiritual.
We didn't need Paul to find that out. Honestly, I mean, oh, you thought I was gonna say something, Paul? You did not have to tell us that.
Oh, Jesus!
If you can hear me, we did not need to know that part.
Oh Lord! Y'all, it's 5:50. Get you some good girlfriends.
I really want to take you serious.
Ones who can help you. They can help you figure out what your relationship status is, because you mix up more than the gunk salad. You putting mayonnaise in your gunk salad. That's what mix up you with. Paul presents the human side of us. Indeed. Indeed he does.
On the flip side, don't forget to be that girl.
Don't forget it, man.
Honestly, you can't just be out here getting help from people and then not giving help.
Oh,
that's a reality. And maybe it requires you telling your girlfriend, listen, this complicated situation you have going on.
Uncomplicated.
This entanglement.
Untangle it. Loose it. Loose. Loose it.
Whatever this is right here is the loose it.
Loose.
Loose it. And what? Loose. Don't be mad when this
girlfriend. They say break.
We break. You have to do like.
Yeah. Break.
We really have a problem.
Sorry, y'all.
But like I said, don't forget to be that girlfriend.
Yeah, man, don't forget that, man.
If you don't remember anything we say today, just be that girlfriend. The girlfriend that someone can call and lean on. Marisha talked about earlier, having that friend that we don't have to speak every day. The girlfriend that you don't have to speak with every day. But we know when we call on you or when something is going down, we could depend on you.
Thanks, buck up, you show up.
And you are on the third level.
Yep. And that's all right.
And listen,
girlfriends. Hey, girlfriend talking to you. Your girlfriend's talking to you. To define these relationship situations, ships, stuff, entanglements, attachments, situations, things we got going on. And let's get our lives in. Let's set our houses in order.
Jesus.
To my single girlfriends, stop it. Loose all of them, go after Jesus. So when the man actually come find you, you want to all tie up, man, right, and tangle up, man.
Right, and that's what that's what the complicated is really about.
Oh Jesus, Lord, you're rewriting the woman's song. You're rewriting the Nishka song, man. loose me, let me go. I don't want to be entangled anymore. No, for real, man. Let's do that, man. And to our married girlfriends out there, listen. Leave your heart for your husband.
And then get you some married girlfriends. That. Not the next thing.
Yeah. To help you out.
Help you out. Iron sharpens iron.
Because we need them. We need people who need people.
Next week. Are we ready for next week?
My gosh. Wow. I can't believe this already.
You want to do this?
Yeah. So next week, we will be coming upon the anniversary of the late, great Shaniqua Hannah Thurston. And, Kara, I actually got to call you off air about this. We got to talk. But next week, we're inviting friends, family members, loved ones, fellow churchgoers, fellow musicians, singers, everyone who has come into contact with her, who in some way, shape, or form was impacted by her life and legacy, to come and share your memories about her. Even if you were just in an audience where she ministered, we're inviting you to be a part of that conversation next week. We want to pay tribute to her as we approach the anniversary of her passing. And so that's what's coming up next week on Girl Talk. And then, oh Lord.
Say it with authority.
On the 18th of August, we're going to deal with cheaters. Can't stop cheating.
I heard you saying it like that.
Can't stop it. I can't stop. I can't stop cheating. And then we go to Dayton Rose Part 2. I can't wait. Oh, I'm so excited. On the 25th of August, we're going to be talking about Dayton Rose Part 2. And then on September 1st, we're going to be talking about that baggage. All that stuff we can run.
The straps with the pop off your bag. However heavy that is.
Loaded down. Mm-hmm. Loaded down, load it down. So that's what's coming up on Girl Talk, y'all. And we would love you to tune in next week, Thursday. We'll be right back here. Same time, same place, 4 o'clock. For those of you who are listening via our podcast, it's 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We're live on Facebook. Girl Talk 242. You can look up Marisha, M-E-R-I-C-H-A. Join Nay, J-O-I-N-A-E. Look us up. Huh?
Let you spell your name. I was spelling you doing.
It's my name, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. look us up, hit us up. We would love you to tune into the live show for those of you who tune into our podcast. And for all of you who are tuned in on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, like and share the show. Share it with somebody who you know needs to hear this conversation. We are not the authorities, but we definitely enjoy having the banter and the conversation to kind of, you know, just expose some stuff that we don't always talk about all the time. And we just love talking. And we like the fact that you like to listen to us talk. So y'all, it's been real. The two of us gotta go to church.
Not church.
We gotta go to church.
Church.
It's been an amazing show.
See you next week.
Next week, same time, same place. Deuces. Find a tribe.